As we continue in our sermon series on Joseph called Daring to Dream Again, let me invite you to take a Bible and turn over to Genesis chapter 39. Our message today will come throughout the entire, for this entire chapter, but let me read first the beginning and then the end. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house, and he put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and in field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now, skip down over to verse 19. Now, when Joseph's master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant Joseph treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all of the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. May God bless the reading of His Word. The silent Egyptian house is suddenly awakened with a scream. "Look, this Hebrew," she says, "has been brought to our house to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me. And he ran out of the house." And with those words, Potiphar's wife sealed Joseph's future and his dream once again. You see, up until this point in the story, Joseph continued to think that his dream still might come true. It still might have a chance. It had only been a few years since his brothers had sold him into slavery to those merchants who were traveling through Palestine on the way to Egypt. And then when he arrived in Egypt, Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's captains of the guard, a high-up official, had bought him and brought him into his house as a slave. And Potiphar was a wise man, and he quickly realized that Joseph was more than your typical slave. In fact, everything that Joseph touched prospered. Potiphar saw such potential in Joseph that he put him in charge of everything in his entire house. Everything that he owned was at Joseph's disposal. And if Joseph began to become this great organizer, this great manager, the Lord blessed Potiphar as well. Everything that Potiphar had in his house and his field became prosperous because Joseph was there. And he became so comfortable with Joseph that not only to put everything in his care, that he had no concern of anything. Scripture says the only thing he was concerned about was, what am I going to eat today? And for Joseph, he began to think that his dream of finding this royal authority that he had dreamed about way back in the days when he was with his brothers out in the fields, that maybe that dream still might come true. I mean, he had been saved from death by the hands of his brothers, and he had survived that long journey at the hands of the Ishmaelites all the way to Egypt. And then he had survived the slave markets and being sold into slavery so that he could actually find a place of honor in the house of an Egyptian guard's household. His ego and his understanding of himself had only grown as his responsibilities grew in Potiphar's house. But soon there was a challenge. Everything seemed to be going so well. His dream, though, was just out of reach. When soon Potiphar's wife had an eye for him. The scriptures are interesting here because they speak about Joseph in a very specific way. Joseph is in his late teens, maybe 20, 21. The scriptures describe him as well-built, strikingly handsome, the kind of man who's in the house that draws your eye. And Potiphar's wife noticed him quickly. He stood out among all of the other servants. And also, not only for his looks, but also for the power that he was beginning to gain inside the household. And she quickly became infatuated with him. Now, for all of the things that Joseph had responsibilities for, everything in his master's house, the only thing that was out of his touch was Potiphar's wife. And so when she begins to approach Joseph, looking for a liaison, Joseph is able to dismiss her. He says this to her. He says, "With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am." You see his ego? "My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" See, Joseph knew that the stakes were high. He knew that in order to reach this dream as a slave, he was walking on some thin ice. His dream depended on him staying out of trouble as a slave. But he also had enough of God's presence within him to understand loyalty to his master. But Potiphar's wife continues to pursue Joseph. Day after day, he has to refuse her advances until one day the scheming wife sees the opportunity with all of the other servants away. She pursues Joseph once again and says to him, "Come with me." But Joseph, wise beyond his years, flees the house, leaving the cloak in her hands. And you can almost sense that as he is fleeing the house, he is sensing his dream slipping from his grasp once again. As loyal as he has been to Potiphar, as much as Potiphar's wealth has grown because of Joseph, he knows that now his time is over. And just as soon as Joseph thought his dream could not be getting any worse, he finds himself imprisoned in Pharaoh's jail, waiting to see what would happen next. Joseph thought his dreams were coming true, but they were hijacked by events beyond his control. Sometimes our dreams get hijacked too, don't they? through forces out of our control, the dreams that we have for our lives get taken away from us. Last week I mentioned George Bailey. Let me tell you a little bit more about his story. You remember the story. You've watched it several times over the Christmas holidays throughout the years, and It's a Wonderful Life. See, George Bailey dreamed to be an explorer, to be an architect. If you put dreamer, I'm sure a picture of George Bailey could fit right in the definition in the dictionary. He wanted to build these impressive skyscrapers. He wanted to build bridges across the widest expanses. He dreamed of getting out of that small town and doing something big with his life. He did not want to settle down with his father's small savings and loan business. And you know the story. One day, his uncle loses the deposits. And all of a sudden, there's a run on the bank. And right as George Bailey is about to make his escape from this small town to see his dreams fulfilled, he invests his money into the people of his community, giving it back to them to save the bank, to save the business. Year after year, George continues to dream this dream of wanting to get away, of wanting to dream big things to happen. And year after year, he continues to give back to the people in his community. His dream seems to have been hijacked. Likewise, Jesse hated his job, and another guy. And you would too, I imagine. Some of you may have done this. Jesse was a chicken plucker. He stood in line at the chicken factory, like the ones right up our hill here, and spent his days pulling the feathers off dead chickens so none of the rest of us would have. It wasn't the job, though, that he dreamed about for himself. But at the time, Jesse didn't think he had much choice. His father was a brute of a man, probably even mentally ill, treating Jesse roughly all of his life. His older brother wasn't much better, who was always picking on Jesse and beating him up. But in spite of this tough home life in West Virginia, Jesse still had dreams. Dreams beyond where he was. He wanted to be a ventriloquist, so he found books on ventriloquism. He practiced with sock puppets, and he saved his hard-earned dollars until he could get a ventriloquist dummy. But life was never easy for him. His dream kept getting hijacked by situations out of his control, whether it was his father, whether it was his job. He just didn't think that life held much hope for him. That's why he was standing in the chicken line in the first place, doing a job that few people wanted. But in spite of all of that, he was sick as well. Sometimes it was physical illness. Sometimes it was all in his head. He was a small child, skinny and meek, and when he started school, he became the object of every bully on the playground. He was a hypochondriac in the very first order. His dreams, what would happen to him? What about your dreams? Can you identify with the story of George or Jesse or maybe even Joseph? Had the dreams of your life ever been hijacked? Had the events of your life ever spun so much out of control that they take away the things that you had hoped for, the way of life that you had expected or wanted? If so, have you ever wondered, where is God? Think about your dreams for First Baptist Church Cornelia. Have you ever found your dreams for this church hijacked as well? See, there are times when things outside of our control change our dreams personally and corporately. Sometimes it's an illness. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the sinking of an entire nation's financial world. Maybe it's the responsibility to care for a parent. Maybe it's a conflict that you have that changes how you view your life or your church. See, here's the reality that Joseph's story reveals to all of us. For all of us whose dreams have been hijacked at some point. As much as we like to imagine that we are in control, the reality is that we are not. Things happen to us when we do not expect them. Let me give you a small, simple illustration. Let's imagine you decide to go sledding with your daughters down a hill. You might know where I'm going with this. You get to the top of the hill, like me this week, and you scan the hill. People have been sledding on this hill all week. It's a perfect sledding hill. Good steepness, good run out. No matter how fast you go, you're going to stop yourself before you get to anything you hit. No trees, no cars. It's a nice, clean hill. Let's say you're like me and you decide, okay, girls, let me go first, make sure it's okay. You start sliding down that hill. You're having a good time. It's going nice and fast. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself catching some really big air and flying and landing not very nicely. Just as soon as I thought my life was in my control, I had controlled everything that I thought that I could. And then all of a sudden, my life is completely changed. It may seem simple and a little bit humorous, but think about your own lives. This happens to all of us at some point, doesn't it? We think we're in control. Life is going good. Our dreams seem just in reach. And then suddenly, our dream is hijacked. The question that we bring to the story of Joseph is this: where is God when our dreams are hijacked? And the lesson that Joseph brings us is this, and we find it throughout chapter 39. No matter the situation Joseph finds himself in, God is always there. Look over back at chapter 39, verse 1. We see Joseph being sold as a slave from these Ishmaelites to an Egyptian captain of the guard. Now go ahead and, you know, somewhere in Egypt there's a slave market. There's a whole bunch of slaves being picked up and being examined like a piece of meat. And Joseph is picked out as one of the best and bought for a high price and taken to this man's house. But then look at the next verse. I mean, verse 1's pretty bad, being sold into slavery. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. You see, from one perspective, the dreams of Joseph have just gotten hijacked. He's just been sold by his brothers. He's just been sold on the slave market. He's been bought by the captain of a guard in the Pharaoh's army. Can it get much worse than that? But from another perspective, no matter what situation Joseph finds himself in, God is always with him. Even when we see his dream slipping from his grasp at the end of the chapter, and Joseph is thrown into prison, It couldn't get much worse from the slave market, could it? No, yes, it could. Now he's found himself in the dark, smelly prison of Egypt. And what does verse 21 say? And the Lord was with Joseph there, and he showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Now, I've mentioned this word several times. I want to mention it again because I want you to continue. I want you to have it blazed in your head because it's such an important word. God showed him steadfast love. The Hebrew word for that, anybody remember it? Hesed. Write it in your script, write it in your Bible right there because you're going to see it all throughout Scripture, all throughout the Old Testament. God showed him unconditional love. The kind of love that we see lived out in the life of Jesus when we see it in the New Testament called agape. While it looks like on the outside that Joseph's dreams have been hijacked, that his dreams, that he keeps getting these terrible situations. In fact, his true dreams, the dreams of being blessed by Yahweh, are being realized. So where is God when our dreams are seized? God's presence is with us as well. Claus Westermann is an Old Testament scholar commenting on this passage. Westermann says this: whenever an individual or society has been involved in God's story, their story will continue even though there are long periods where they may see nothing happening to it at all. Let me say that again. Whenever you or I or this church are involved in God's story, our story will continue even though there are long periods where we may see nothing happening to it at all. God's presence is still with us, working even when we don't notice it. So how do we begin to pay attention to see that God is working in our lives? How do we begin to change perspectives from seeing the bad things that seem to be happening to seeing that God's working on the other? Remember last fall, we spent 40 days in prayer? Why did we spend 40 days in prayer? To begin to develop within us as a church and as people the ability to listen to God's working in our lives. Because you see, as we begin to build within us the spiritual capacity to listen to God, we begin to build within us the spiritual capacity to see God's dreaming the dreams in our lives. As we begin to develop prayer and listening skills, the spiritual traits and disciplines, God begins to reveal to us the true story of what is happening. God's presence is always with us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. No matter how much we feel like our dreams have been hijacked, God's presence is still with us. For example, God's dream for this church continues to be alive. His dream for First Baptist Church has never wavered. He desires for us to be the people of faith in this place, growing in love, serving our community, and telling our world about Jesus. This dream has been lived out throughout our history. And while there sometimes have maybe imagined that our dream had been hijacked, in reality what God was doing was He was forming us into His people that He wants us to be in order for us to live out the true dream that's coming, the true dream for this congregation, for this community, for who He wants us to be. So even when we maybe have thought there's nothing happening, in fact, there was much happening among us. George Bailey may have lost one dream, the dream to be an architect, to travel the world, to be a great adventurer, but instead he lived a new dream. You see, in this new dream, his hometown became a different place because he invested his lives in the lives of individuals, one after another, after another. And what about Jesse? Well, when he got old enough, he joined the army. And when many of his hypochondriac symptoms persisted, the military did recognize his talents, and they put him in this entertainment corps. And that was when his world began to change. He gained confidence, and he found that he had a talent for making people laugh, and laugh so hard they often found tears in their eyes. Yes, Jesse began to find himself. See, the history books are full of people who overcome a handicap to go on to make a success of themselves. But Jesse is one of the few who used it to make something new of himself. He didn't forget it. Instead, he used his paranoia to begin making millions of dollars and become one of the best-loved characters in all of TV history. You see, that little paranoid hypochondriac who transferred his nervousness into a successful career, well, you see, he still holds the record for the most TV Emmys given in a single category. He was that wonderful, gifted, talented, and nervous comedian that brought us, you know it yet? Barney Fife. Jesse was Jesse Don Knotts. For all you younger kids below 20, go watch Andy Griffith and you'll figure it out who he was. You see, last week we ended. I asked you to reflect on this question. What is God's dream for your life? Some of us had a hard time with that assignment. I hope you've been praying and reflecting on that this week. But I'm going to ask our musicians to come back up one more time and play through our first verse of our next hymn, which is hymn number, it's on the back page here, 320. But I want you to think, before you turn there, I want you to think about these questions as they play. Where have your dreams been hijacked? And also this question. Where have you seen God's presence and blessings in your life? Because both of those questions will begin to help us to get to being able to dream new dreams again. See, finding God's presence in the midst of life, sometimes complicated and difficult paths, require us to change our perspectives. See, as we learn from the story of Joseph, God's abundant presence is always with us. God's blessings are always abundant. It becomes our task, our spiritual learning, to take time to listen and pay attention to God's working in our lives. So as they play the first verse of this hymn, let me simply ask you this question. Where have your dreams been hijacked? And where has God's presence been? And what blessings has He brought you?